Okay.
1 Corinthians chapter 11. We finally took that head covering off, Louise. So now we're into the Lord's Supper, which is even more involved. And there's a lot of information that Paul covers in this passage about the Lord's Supper. I have no idea how much we'll get into, but we'll try to get at least an overall view of this. Again, he's addressing the Corinthians. They were having problems, and this is the next problem, is the Lord's Supper. In verse 17, he says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse." And the first thing is, when the church does come together, it should always be for the edification of the whole. He'll go through the book of Corinthians and he'll say that all the time, is that the gifts that they had were not for the individual, but it was for the whole group to be edified, to build up the body that it may function properly. Now remember, the Corinthians were just a small piece in a very large equation. You know, God is doing something. And this was just one place. Where is Corinth?
Way over there.
This is one city. Oh, I moved it out of the way, didn't I? I'm sorry. I can move it a little bit. Can you see that? It's just one place where Paul had, this is a tremendous amount of real estate that God was working through, and this is just one place, one assembly in Corinth. And not knowing that what they did would be distributed to all these other locations. Mm-hmm. Where God is doing something. You understand where, when this is on the ground level, this is on the foundational level where God is working through the Corinthian church. That's why we have 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And when he's at writing to the Romans, that's why we have Romans. We write to the Galatians, that's why we have Galatians. But it's not until you get a little further into the epistles where you find out, when Paul's saying, when I write these, you make sure the Colossian saints right here, he said, you make sure that this is read to the Laodiceans, and you make sure the Laodiceans read yours. But all these were what they call encyclical, to be circled around through the churches until they come. What's the matter?
Well, I'm just always amazed at the different words y'all use. I never heard.
Okay, they were intended to be circulated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to go around to the various assemblies. Think about when Paul writes turn to Colossians. We hadn't even got started. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1:21. "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith," he didn't say faith, he said the faith. What is the faith? When you put, right, it's the gospel. It's a definite article there. When he says the faith, it's the body of truth that he's laying down. I said the body of truth, not just a letter. It's the body of truth that he's laying down. When he's in Corinth, he's not giving them the whole revelation, because he tells them in 12 that I will come to what? visions and revelations. He says, I have more to come. And what I give, what I get, that I give. So he says, verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof, of the church, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to do what? To fully preach the word of God. He said, this is given to me to fulfill the word of God. The dispensation is God has is a house, the house rule, the house management. He's given it to me to fulfill the word of God. So when Paul is done, if you fulfill something, what's left?
Nothing. Got it all.
Check. So we have a problem where we look at Revelation and we say, well, that's the last book written. John fulfilled the word of God. But at best, those who form a chronology, it's just a guess. It's maybe intelligent, but it's still a surmise. It's still a guess at best. When Paul says he's given it to me to do what? Fulfill the word of God. When he's done, he puts the capstone on the revelation. You know, I was talking to the guys this Sunday in the Sunday school, and I was telling them about the reason we have so much confusion is because nobody listens to Paul. They'll go back when everyone, they take their text, it's out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Deuteronomy, Psalms. And I said, here's a man, he tells you that now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. He says, I'm able to establish you. When you hear the preaching of Jesus Christ and my gospel, when you hear the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And it's, well, I can't understand. I have to, one lady, she said, I have to understand the Old Testament in order to know what Paul is saying. I said, that's true. I said, but it's not a person sitting in here that doesn't know that you're not under the law. In here, in that particular, so there's not a person in here that doesn't know that you're not under the law. And I said, that's true. I said, no, you to go with the chart. I said, you have to go right. When I say right of the cross. When you go back, you already picked up the yoke, and you have to twist it, turn it, slice it, dice it, mince it to make it work to fit you. Mm-hmm. And that's why they stay in confusion all the time, because nobody listens to Paul. So he says, it's given to me not only to establish you, to fulfill the word of God. He said, this is it. And when I write to you, every epistle is just adding on to the foundation to complete it. So we think, you know what? We thank God for it, that it's complete now. There's no reason why. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Now, coincidentally, it's to the Ephesian church that he said, and Ed commented on this last week, that he kept back nothing that was profitable for them. He's talking about the Word of God. He kept back nothing that was profitable to them, but he taught them publicly and from house to house. And when he finished, he said, now I commend you. He didn't say to the elders, to the rest of the church. He said, I commend you to the Word of God, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Now he's right to the Ephesians. Here you go. Chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. This is a whole lot there, but mm-hmm. We're just reading it for some other reasons here. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
He said he gave. Notice,
past tense, if
I say he's giving some, that would mean he's still doing it, right? But the scripture said that he gave some apostles, prophets. We're not there yet, but the same thing that Paul says here that's finished is what he's laying down in Corinth. When you get to chapter 12 in Corinthians, he'll say, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? No, some of them were. They had 9 gifts and they were all for the communication of the word in some form or fashion. They were all for the edifying of the body of Christ in some form or fashion. But he says, now here, we're in Ephesians, where a lot of time has transpired. A lot of information has been compiled. He says now he gave some, especially today in 2015, he's not giving anymore.
Okay.
You know how he's not giving? You know, if a guy says, oh, he called me to preach,
mm-hmm.
or I'm a prophet. Do you know how you can tell that he's not? He doesn't preach Paul. What else? This is easy. Easy.
Past tense.
Past tense, yes. Easier than that.
Because the greatest gift is blood, Paul.
Because you got it. You got it in your hand. What else could God tell you that he hasn't told you?
Exactly.
What else would he tell you that's not in here? So if they tell you they're a prophet, it's some weird off-the-wall stuff that has nothing to do with God's purpose. Or the Lord has told me that somebody in here needs a car, and they're going to get a car when they get to the house.
I got a word for you
from the Lord. You know what? I'm going to use one from my uncle here. He says, don't tell me that the Lord blessed you with a car and gave you the payment book. That's not a blessing.
That's a debt.
Say, so, you know what? The Lord blesses with a church. You paying the rent every month? He blessed you with a church? Okay. So that's would you say that's a blessing? That's not a blessing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
But he says he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints. How would you perfect a saint today?
With the word.
With the word. You know what? In 2 Timothy it says that Paul says that for Timothy that he was had the scriptures which is able to make him wise unto salvation. And he said all scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness that the man of God might be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know what? You don't even need me to tell you the truth. We help each other by what we supply here. But you can go home and the Lord can establish you with his word. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yo, do you believe that? Sure. Because all scripture is profitable. All I'm doing is giving you scripture. They didn't have it then. They were giving it. When they spoke, they were said, the Lord said this, thus saith the Lord. So when they got it, then it was written. Or when Paul wrote, he said, this is scripture. And he would send it out and they would get it and say, yeah, that's it. Now, that's why when he told the Thessalonians, he said, don't be disturbed by spirit and or letter as from us. Don't think just because you got a letter saying this from Paul, that is from Paul. He says, I have a way to identify mine. But anyway, he said, the scripture is what will establish you. But for the perfecting of the saints, 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to Christ be formed in us, to till Christ brings us to maturity. What's stopping us from becoming mature?
Not
we don't have a, we don't have enough
knowledge.
We don't have enough knowledge of the word. You know, the same thing Paul quotes here. He quotes a passage from Deuteronomy and Romans chapter 10, where the Jews, when they got ready to go into the promised land, Moses said, now when you go in here, I want you to do it this time. I'm paraphrasing, of course. He said, when you go in here, I want you to do it this time. I want you to do the law this time. So, and he says, don't ask. Okay, Deuteronomy. I'm sorry. Deuteronomy. And then we'll get to the reason why we're actually studying here. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 30, verse 5. He says, we just go 5. He says, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every good, in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. Now he's getting ready, like I said, they're going back into the land. And Moses has just rehearsed, if you don't do it, here's all the curses. If you do it, here's all the blessings. And he says, if you don't do it, he'll throw you out there and you'll be scattered in all the lands. But if you do it, he'll bring you back and put you in the land and you'll enjoy it. That's where he is here. Okay, verse 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment, which I command thee this day, is what? It's not hidden from thee. Neither is it what?
Far off.
Listen, he said, this commandment is not hidden. And it's not far off. He says, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy what?
Mouth,
and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Now, that's his way of saying, I spelled it out, and what? The availability is where? The availability of the word is where?
In your
hearts,
right?
He said it's in your
mouth
and
heart.
In your heart. How could that be? Because when they read it, it was what? In their mouth. If they believed it, it was what? All was left is to do what?
To act on it.
That's why Paul quotes it in Ephesians. He said he gave some to have the word available to you, to mature you, to enjoy. That's why he said, what is it now? He that ascended first, but that he descended into the what? Lower parts. You don't have to worry about that now. All of it's been done. He's already everything's gone. He has provided everything that we need through those people that he blessed, that he gave to the body. And they did their job. You know, in Romans, where Paul says, talking about Israel, he said, well, they didn't hear it. He said, they heard it. They heard it. He says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And he said, oh, God sent them, and they heard it. So then, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the only thing they didn't do was believe it. So Paul, he gave us these prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers to edify us. We have no excuse for not being edified, only the fact that we don't want to. That's why he'll say this: study to show thyself approved unto God. Thyself is singular. A workman, not men, a man, workman is what? Singular. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says, that's why they were there. That you could what? Have access yourself. Okay. Enough of that.
Well, you're going somewhere else, so but how about the people that don't understand yet? They just came to know the Lord and stuff like that.
That's
they need some help.
That's right. You know what? And that's why he has established the local assemblies also. But you can't, I won't say, I can't put everything on you. Because how many times do you have a question where it never gets answered? And you just put it on the shelf. That ought not to be. It's, I might not know the answer, but I tell you what, I'm going to hit all around it. I'm gonna look for it. Because, you know what? The scripture said this, that when Paul went to the Thessalonica, and he went to the next town, they ran him out of Thessalonica, he went to Berea. He said, those in Berea,
they were more noble
than those in Thessalonica. What made them so noble? Because they received the word with a readiness of mind.
And they double checked it.
And it said, and they searched the scriptures
daily.
Most of the time, some of the time,
daily.
Every week they came back. He said they searched the scriptures
daily.
Whether the things that were said were so. Mm-hmm. What does the next verse say? I'll let you figure that out at home. See if you're going to figure that out.
Karen?
Okay, for Corinthians. It says, therefore, many of them believed. So you can cut the chase out there. All right. Corinthians. We said all that just to show you that when Paul is writing this, he's formulating the word of God to just for we can be so we can be mature, so we can grow up. So we pass Ephesians, but he said this, that we be no more children,
14.
Tossed to and fro, mm-hmm, by every wind of doctrine, by the cunning craftiness of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know how they can deceive you? Is you haven't
taken a few verses.
Yeah, he said, I don't want you. That's what, look, when he says this, that's the culmination of all those times where Paul said this. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Brethren, I would have you to know this. And he said, brethren, I would have you know. I would have you not ignorant. I would have you understand. And then he gets here, he says that we be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine.
You know, in 1 Corinthians 13:11, I'm sorry, it mm-hmm says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child.
Right.
I understood as a child.
But.
And what I'm seeing here is that now the Lord has revealed his word to us in full.
In full. That's what Paul says. It was given to me to full it up.
So it's our job now to study so mm-hmm it can be revealed.
Mm-hmm. It's been revealed.
Yeah, well, you know.
So you can understand.
Yeah.
You know what? When you do it, you know what? What's amazing, man? It's everything that when I go to the different places, and everything that I say, it's a verse. I said, listen. I said, you turn to it, to Romans 11, and read it. And what does it say? He'll say, it sure does. Okay, you turn to Romans 15. He'll say, just, yeah. Where it said, you know what, Paul says, I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. 15, he said, Jesus Christ was a minister to the circumcision. If you read that in 15, Paul said that I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians, he'll say, I, the master builder. That's in yours.
Yeah.
Why don't you know that? Not you. I'm saying where you talk. I'm talking to the guys who said I'm called to preach. The Lord called me. I'm the apostle. I'm a prophet. If any man think himself to be spiritual or a prophet, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are solely my own personal opinions. You know how when you hear a TV show and they put that disclaimer on there, we just want you to know that the views and opinions expressed by this speaker had nothing to do with us. You can't say that about Paul. He said, when I speak, he said, this been sanctioned by the Lord. He said, and if you think you're spiritual, if you think you're a prophet, then you acknowledge that what I'm writing are the commandments of the Lord. Okay, brother. Okay, let's all right. Corinthians 11. 7. So he's writing these things to when he's writing to the Corinthians, they're in the baby stage. They're growing up. He's still trying to mature, not just them, but the whole body.
Get them off the bottle.
Get him off the bottle. He's doing these things because the body of Christ is in its infancy. Mm-hmm. It's growing.
It's progressing.
It's progressing. Yes. So he can't just drop Paul off and he gives him the whole revelation and he starts telling them all these things and they're like, wait. You know, what happened to the they go straight from Acts chapter 7 to 2 Timothy, where they want to know, wait a minute, number one, who is he and where did he come from?
It's like feeding a porterhouse steak to a 12-month
right.
12-month or whatever.
If you feed a steak right to a baby, he may hit one corner and maybe he'll finish that. Maybe. But he won't finish a whole steak, will he? Strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age. To borrow from the Hebrews, to them who by reason of use have their senses to discern both good and evil. So you can't put that on a new believer. It has to be a growth, a progression, a process. And they're in the beginning. So all these things that he writes is for them to function in their capacity to keep the body growing. Yeah, I didn't explain that right. Let me give you another example before we start reading some verses. If you're building a house, and if suppose you're using bad wood, or you're using crooked wood, mm-hmm. Everything else will be what?
Crooked.
You'll never have a right angle.
No.
And everything, it'll throw the whole house off. You might be walking down the street and the house will be like like that.
It'll blow over a lot easier too.
And they'll say, "What? Who did that?" Surely he had no understanding. So when he's dealing with the body, he has to get the pieces functioning properly, or else the whole will what?
Just collapse.
It won't work.
It's not sound.
It's not sound. Thank you. I love that. It's not sound.
So you got to get the fundamentals, the building blocks.
Sound doctrine. Sound teaching provides sound nourishment for the body. And then you're, it's healthy. Then you can grow.
Otherwise, you're sitting wrong.
Otherwise, you're right. So, okay, great. Thank you. Now, he says, now, in this I declare unto you, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. And we said all that to show that when the body comes together, 11, 17.
Okay, thank you.
We went all over the Bible scriptures to just show that, that when the body comes together, it should have the edification for the whole in mind. And when he was saying, I can't praise you because when you came together this time, it was not for the whole. It was not for the good of the whole. He says, I can't praise you because you didn't come together for the better, but for the what? For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. He said, the very fact that I'm hearing there's divisions tells me you're immature. It tells me that something's wrong because somebody has a sound point of view and somebody doesn't. You can't have a division unless somebody's got to be right and somebody's got to be wrong. Or you're both wrong. Right? Like they say, it's your story, their story, and the truth is somewhere in the middle. But he says, this is, there must be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. And a heresy is when you know that your point is skewed, but you continue to hold on to it. That leads to divisions.
Because you're too proud to admit.
Because you're right. You'll be too proud to switch. Mm-hmm. Why do you think there's so many denominations? Because somebody is holding a heretical view. Said, listen. He said right here, if you speak in tongues, it's got to be one, two, three at the most. That's what Paul says. And it has to be by course. That means when he's finished, then you do it. And then when he's finished, you do it. And then when you all get done, he says, you interpret. And if there's no interpreter, what?
Don't do it.
So what's the, when you're watching TV, which I sometimes watch the show on TV, and you watch the TV and you turn it on and everybody's speaking in tongues. Everybody. The men and the women. The women are not supposed, and the men, and it, they're all together. And even the pastor, he's walking around, hush, blah, 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 blah. He's doing all that.
What was it? It was a comedy show when Jim Carrey was acting like one of the preachers. He's like, Mama say, Mama sign, Mama kiss.
He might as well be doing that. It's just much, it makes much sense as what they're saying.
Yeah, I see some real just like what you described.
So if you didn't even know the word of God, you know that's monkey.
Mm-hmm.
It's monkey shine. You know it. Because you look at it and say, nobody does that. No intelligent people do that. So, you know what? The experience that I had when I went to this church in Millington, or Fraser, was along the lines of that. But anyway, he says,
okay.
Huh? Go ahead.
I just was listening to Feldick the other day, and it was very interesting what he was talking about, the Treasury and how they train people to look for counterfeits. And he said they don't train them on looking at all the different currencies and all the different variations of it. They train them on looking at the right one. And so when they see a false one, then they'll be able to detect it easily. So it's kind of like you're learned up on the Bible. When you see false doctrine,
right,
you're ready, you're able to detect it.
Right. You know what? Nobody has to tell me whether tongues are legitimate or not. I don't care if he even spoke and somebody came by and interpreted it.
It ain't today.
Listen, huh?
It ain't today.
It ain't today. Why you know that?
Bible, Paul.
Because number one, my apostle told me what they were for.
And that's what my hiccup was at, is that even though I wanted to know Christ, at least I thought I did, I didn't understand doctrine. So I questioned all those different things. Because it was so real to my eyesight and to my ears. But I wasn't rooted to know that it was shame.
Right. Right. And once you get that information, you know what? He can speak. He can stand up. He can stand up and give a discourse and get through, and the guy can explain it to me. So what?
If it was possible,
you notice that? That's another thing. Well, that's for the tongues chapter, but that's another thing too. You ever notice it's never a discourse. Never.
Mm-hmm. It's battle.
I could time them. Go. He's done. Try it again. Go. It won't even go a minute. Not even 30 seconds. Listen, in Acts, okay, verse back to, he said, First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. He says, when you come together, he said, you can see that it's out of order. When you have a fellowship meal, when they're coming together, they were saying, this is a fellowship meal.
Everybody should be in unison.
Everybody should. What does the word fellowship even mean? Fellowship. Mm-hmm. Ship. You know what? Ship is a... Like minds. Fellows together. Mm-hmm. Together. Sharing. You know what? Ship is, it's an old English term. And it actually means to shape, to form, to make suitable. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, apprenticeship. That means I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm equipping this man to be a good apprentice or helper. So, I think battleship. I've built this thing. I've designed this thing, formed this thing, so it'll do good
in battle.
So, if it's a fellowship, what I say and do, I'm equipping you, shaping you to be a good fellow. And that doesn't mean fellow like fellow. It means fellow is...
Fellow saint, fellow believer.
It's a partner.
Mm-hmm. We're
working together, right? And anything that gets in the way of that is wrong. So he says, "You, when you come together, this is not for the better, it's for the worse." He says, "Now you say it's a fellowship. You say it's for the Lord's Supper. Christian, right?" He said, "Look, when you come together, 21, everyone taketh before his own supper." We're sitting down. You know what? You're already eating. Can you imagine that? Look, you come together, just a practical term. You come together Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, you know what? You sit down, you want to, it's a family dinner, right? Mm-hmm. You want to sit down. You know why you want to enjoy each other's company as a family. What if you are invited to a Thanksgiving dinner? You come in. He's already finished. He's over there drunk in the corner. He's eating right there. They're eating. You don't have anything. They come in and say, well, it's all gone, brother. What you bring? Say, what?
I can't talk to none of y'all because y'all are sleeping drunk.
Say, what kind of Thanksgiving is this?
No fellowship.
I could have stayed home. That's what he told him. You could do that at home. He said, when you're coming together, he said, it's all wrong. He said, for one, what? One taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry and another is drunken. What? 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 Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? He's not talking about the building when he said, shame ye the church of God. He's talking about the people. Mm-hmm. He says, are you despising them? Are you looking down on them? Are you counting them as not?
Only time is considered at this table. You go on over there.
Listen. The only thing that will change your mind about me is you think about me what God thinks about me. Mm-hmm. See, when God picked those people, he knew what he wanted out of them. And the mature believer would know what he wanted out of them. So he would know that I'm in the shaping business. I have to ship him. You know what? That's where we get the term ship shape. You ever heard that? I know you heard that before, right? That's how you get it. That's how you get that term. Where we should be about the ship shape for the fellows. Shaping them up. But if you don't know what the fellow is supposed to do, you don't know how to shape the fellow.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, it doesn't seem like they want it to because they're... Instead of sharing with them, they're gloating over the ones that don't have. You know?
Mm-hmm. How far off are they?
Yeah.
How far off are they?
Far from today.
Yeah.
Not far from today.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. See, this is where when you have the knowledge of what God is doing, you have a tremendous edge on the adversary. Because what he's trying to prevent, you can perfect.
Okay.
So when I go somewhere, I have the shaping tools with me, the verses, and you remember the Edward Scissorhands when they showed that when he went to the bushes and. All you saw was stuff flying around. When he gets through, it was all nice and shaped up.
Ship shape.
You know what? So when you get through with chopping all this excess stuff off the believers to get them in the fellowship shape where he can be of use, you know, that's what they don't like. They, you know what they'll say? You're taking everything away from me. No, I'm shaping you up.
Mm-hmm. Take away your body.
You know what? You go in, it's like, I want you to cut my hair. Just trim it up. Just. And when you see it all flying off, you're like, wait a minute. I just wanted to trim. Don't worry. You're going to look great. Just, but you know what? When you get through, you say, you know what? I like that. Could cut all the excess off. That's what believers need. You know, they need that excess, that religion cut off. And when he gets through, they say, you know what? I feel so much better with that stuff off. I feel so much freer. Then you know what? That's when you have a lot of hair, it's just a, such a weight. And when you finally get it cut off, you say, oh, I should have done this a long time ago. Anyway, I digress. Verse 21, he says, for eating everyone taketh before his other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. He couldn't. Now, we're early, and I'm going to stop right there. Because when you get into the next week, it's a little thick. But we'll see why he's even, when he starts to correct them on why they're coming together, he'll show them why they're coming together and what they're supposed to be doing and thinking when they come together. Okay. In other words, you know what? He's shaping them up as a body. And when they hear Paul's teaching of why they should be coming together, what their mindset should be when they come together, what their focus should be, then that's when they'll know when they do it the next time if it's for the better or not. Now, we'll find out next week some particulars about this. So we'll stop there and pick up at chapter 11, verse 23 next week.